Welcome to the True Girl Momcast, where we'll learn a lot, laugh a lot, and have biblical conversation about raising daughters. Because the struggle is real. But guess what? You, my friend, are not alone. I'm one of your hosts, Dana Gresh. I'll be joined momentarily by Janet, Mylan, and Shani McKenzie. What does reflecting have to do with community? Today, we'll talk about how to intentionally get together with friends and loved ones and speak of all that God has done in the past year. Because you know what? Your friends will remember things you've forgotten. You better believe this is a gentle reminder to pause in the midst of all the hustle and bustle and intentionally set aside time to remember. Also, today on the podcast, we talk about hippos and campuses. Where was it, the hippocampus? I can't remember. See what I did there? Okay, Shani remembers a few of her nicknames through the years, and Janet, our go-to gal for finding the silver lining in even the toughest situations, she's here to introduce us to her favorite feel-good books of the Bible, Lamentations and Job. Womp, womp, womp. Because who doesn't love a good cry and a healthy dose of life's hardest questions? Let's dive in. Ladies, my ladies. You're my girls. Yours now.
Okay.
Yes. Hi, Shani.
Hi. So, you know, it's the end of the year. I just wanted to, you know, make someone else think about that.
Mm-hmm. Is that hard for you?
Yeah.
Really?
I mean, you think and you remember like how quickly the year has gone. And then you also realize there's some things you don't remember. Like, do you guys think you have a good memory? Like, what kind of things stick in your memory and what kind of things just don't?
Well, I can't remember what I did yesterday, okay, but you bring any song that I've ever heard in my life ever, and I'll know all the lyrics.
You are that person.
I just remember every
lyric. So that's an interesting thing. So do you remember the name of a song and who sings it?
Not as much as just the lyrics.
Mm-hmm. I have a terrible time remembering the name of a song and who sings it. There's this one song I love, and right now God's giving me the grace to remember it. It's Christy Knuckles, A Mighty Fortress. Have you ever heard that version? Okay. Promise me you'll listen to it.
Okay. It's based off the hymn?
It'll get
we
you through a jam or two.
We can put that in the show notes. How about that?
Yeah, put that in the show notes. Okay. Such a good song. And every now and then when I'm like, my spirit needs the song, I'm like, what's that song?
Wow.
And like, the lyrics will run through my head. Yeah. I cannot for the life of me remember who sings it or what it's called.
All the time.
I'm like that.
You just want to go by the first line of the song. You're like, yeah, this is what it is.
Well, memory is interesting, though. Mm-hmm. And I want to hear your answer to this because I'm curious. Because I think I know your answer. But
what are you talking about?
But have you guys ever been praying for someone? Someone asked you to pray for them in real time, in front of them. And you can't remember their name.
Oh, yes.
And you have to go, Lord, bless my sister.
Bless this person here.
Bless my brother.
That and I go to church with every week and sit in the same room with, but don't remember their name.
It's just not fair. Yes. Because they should tell you, so even if it's like your own mother, she should tell you her name because you just don't know.
Have you ever been there when somebody's praying and they use the wrong name and somebody nearby goes, it's Rick.
Yeah.
And they correct themselves. And Lord, I pray for Rick too.
Oh my gosh.
But wherever Johnny is, Lord, we lift him up.
Lord, you know who to apply this prayer to. I don't need to be perfect.
Yeah.
It's always so awkward.
What about you, Shani?
Well, Janet, I too cannot remember what I ate for breakfast this morning. I do remember a lot of song lyrics. I'm pretty good, I think, with people's names.
Yes, pretty good. I can't believe you even hesitated.
I love like learning people's names, but it's usually always just connected to an experience. Like I connect it to an experience. So if my sister's like talking to me about a friend and she's like, oh yeah, so I don't know if you know. I was like, oh yeah, so-and-so, you told me about her like 6 years ago. And she's like, how do you even remember? I'm like, I just, you know, kind of connected to the experience. But I don't know. There's just something in knowing someone's name and
okay, that's
being
true.
Able to.
Yeah. And I struggle with that. You know where the Holy Spirit really convicted me? Because we have a mutual friend. His name is Jonathan Weibel, and he speaks often about the value of a person's name and how it makes them feel loved. Mm-hmm. And I've always thought, well, I just don't remember names. It's fine. Well, the Holy Spirit convicted me through Jonathan's teaching one day that I needed to get better at that. Mm-hmm. But I was like, I don't know if I can.
Yeah.
And then I read this article. I think this was the Lord. It's about how the hippocampus, which is what does memory in our brain, that whatever you work out in it, it gets better at. And the reason they know this is because they studied taxi drivers.
And the part of the brain that has to remember like directions, it's like all muscled up and big in there.
Really?
For taxi drivers, because they used it. And the Holy Spirit was like, if you would just use your brain to remember names, I will give you grace to remember names.
Dana.
So,
yes.
Especially, I mean, Dana, and I mean, I have this experience as well. I don't know if you do, Janet, probably not as much, but we're people mispronounce our names a lot.
I don't have that problem.
Not Janet.
Right.
But like, I mean, you're what Dana, you're Donna. Yeah. I get Shannon. Shaney, a young lady I used to work with asked if my name was short for Shaniqua. You know, I get everything. And
wow,
I used to be
special,
like,
aren't they?
I was like, oh, you're just going to lead with that. Bless your heart.
Oh my goodness.
My father-in-law, you know, I've been married 35 years.
I love this story.
And he still calls me Dana.
No.
Please.
Oh. Love you, Dad.
I'm sorry.
He needs a whole doctor.
It's unreal. It's unreal.
That's the cutest thing, though. Bless his heart.
Yes. Bless his heart.
Oh, that is funny.
Yeah, he's not using that hippocampus.
Well, listen, I mean, we all have our memory strengths, but, you know, just thinking about this end of the year and just reflecting on that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, what we remember is important.
It is.
The scripture talks so often of it. In fact, I think, Janet, you have a little scripture snack prepared for us to help us understand that.
You know I do. Let's get our hippocampuses out. I immediately picture a hippo on a campus. That's why immediately there's a hippo walking across the lawn. That's how I pictured it. Well, here we are. Shani mentioned the end of the year is drawing nigh. The end of 2024 is drawing nigh. Do you guys get reflective at the end of the year?
I don't. Like, I think I don't really do that until, like, the beginning of the next year, where I just sort of beat myself up over what I could have done better.
Well, that sounds like an unhealthy thing to start.
It does. You may have to have therapy.
I do it at the end of the year.
You're
doing in the beginning.
Yeah.
I'm at the end doing it. But I think I've gotten away from like New Year's resolutions and those kind of things. But I do like, I'm like, right. Oh, what didn't I complete this year?
Well, I definitely do. As extroverted and verbal as I am, I'm extremely contemplative in my, I just sit and I think, and I love to sit on my porch for hours and think and reflect. And so I'm excited to share this message today. I love to end the year and start the new year with a ton of reflection and thinking about the year to come. I write a ton and think about a lot of things and pray a lot. But have you realized you can actually forget what happened in that year? Like, you mentioned that too.
Oh, yeah.
Like, it was just 12 months ago. It's not really that long in the span of life, right?
Yeah.
But we can actually forget what happened in that year. So while this podcast is technically about helping our daughter reflect on 2024, it's also about community.
Mm-hmm.
Does that surprise you?
Yeah.
Say yes.
Yes, of course.
Our scripture passage we're focusing on right now is Psalm 77, 11 and 12. But then I recall all you have done, O Lord. I remember your wonderful deeds of long ago. They are constantly in my thoughts. I cannot stop thinking about your mighty works.
Mm.
I love how this passage starts with the word, but. Right? Mm-hmm. We love the buts in scripture.
Mm-hmm. You just had to go there.
So, but then I recall it denotes a turning of sorts. In fact, Shani, go ahead and read verses 1 and 2 to kind of give us a glimpse of what we're turning away from. Why do we need to recall?
I cry out to God. Yes, I shout. Oh, that God will listen to me. When I was in deep trouble, I searched for the Lord. All night long, I prayed with hands lifted toward heaven, but my soul was not comforted.
So we can see why a but was necessary by the time we get to verse 11. The writer of the psalm was in great distress, unable to be comforted. And I believe all three of us have been in situations where we feel unable to be comforted. Mm-hmm. Things just get so intense and so hard that we can't even like tap on comfort. And then he shifted his mind, the writer of the psalm shifted his mind to remember the wonderful deeds of God. He began obsessing over God's mighty works. Did you hear that? Did you see that? I cannot stop thinking about your mighty works, obsessing over God's mighty works. Let me ask you something. What happens when you shift your thoughts to meditating on God's wonderful, mighty works?
Oh, wow. Game changer. Game changer. You know, I just heard a reel. I think I mentioned a reel in the last podcast.
You know, I don't
sit around all day and watch reels. But I saw a reel of a female Bible teacher, and she was saying that the word tragedy isn't really in the ancient Hebrew language.
The same
Did you see that?
Yes.
Tell me about it. I didn't see it.
This is great. This was good stuff.
And she said the reason the word tragedy is not in the ancient Hebrew language is in part because if circumstances weren't unfolding with an ending that was good, it was because God was not finished. And so they trusted in that so mightily that they didn't declare what it was until they felt that the hand of God had completed the work. That's because they focused on God's mighty work. And I've been really public about the fact that in 2021, I had a terrible battle with anxiety, and it was just overwhelming me. And I thought, does it say anywhere in the Bible that we don't have to be afraid? And Psalm 91 actually says, you will not fear the terror of night, which is when I was experiencing my anxiety. And so I memorized Psalm 91 and I started to think, God is my comforter. He is my strong tower. He is the mighty God. He is above all things. That's what this Psalm tells us. And because we think of those things, we don't fear the terror of night.
Yeah.
So it was game changing for me.
Yes.
Doesn't mean I didn't still experience anxiety, but when I did, it was short-lived because I went right to remembering the power of God.
Yeah. Right. It is a game changer. And as you've heard me say before, this whole idea of this, but I recall, is why I love Lamentations 3 so much.
Because so many people love Lamentations. Yeah.
Well,
Janet,
you know, I said I'm contemplative.
It's like partying on the pages of scripture.
But Lamentations 3, the writer is just like, it's a bad way. He's like, he has made my teeth grind on gravel. He's cowering in ashes. His soul is bereft of peace.
I can see why, like, you love it.
Everything. And then verse 21, but this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They're new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. It changes everything. Recalling what the Lord has done is powerful. A couple months ago, Andy and I were at a friend's house with several other friends, and we had communion together. We took time to remember what God had done in our church since its beginning. As people said various things, like, you know, what they remember, different people being healed or relationships being restored or babies being born or just different changes and transitions and all of the things. It was like, oh yeah, like I forgot about that. When someone says something like, oh my goodness, yeah, that's right, that happened. Their mind remembered it, but my mind had forgotten about it. And then I was like, oh, that's right. That's right. It was so beautiful to do. So that's why we're talking about community in regard to reflecting on what the Lord has done. Because my mind might not remember things that another mind does. If we were to sit and do that right now, the three of us, we would remember, Dana, you'd remember something that I just forgot about, or I'd remember something Shani forgot about, or whatever. And that's beautiful. That's why it's important to do it together. So my challenge to you this month is simple and very intentional. Get a few people together with your daughter, like friends, family, maybe youth workers, maybe a mentor, and recall all that God has done this year. Remember his wonderful deeds together.
That's great.
Because we're going to need to remember things that we'd forgotten about, but someone else remembered. It's powerful when someone's going through a hard time, your friend, and you can say, but do you remember how God did this for you? And you're like, oh yeah, that's right. Because sometimes we just forget. So I'm going to list some good questions to help jog your memory.
Thank you.
As you're going through this time, I put these questions in the show notes so moms, you can have access to them. But good questions help jog your memory about recalling the wondrous works of God. So here's a question. Was a relationship healed this year? Did something get paid off that you needed to pay off? Was a new job provided? Did God provide peace in the midst of a trial?
You know he did.
And, you know, sometimes that's hard because God's works, maybe it didn't look like the trial was gone, but he provided peace in the midst of a trial. And that's important to remember. What new friends did you meet this year? What fun things did you create or make? Did you make something really cool? Did you finally get that statement wall done in your entryway? And you're like, what did you make? Did you discover a new hobby or skill this year? Was a baby born? Was anyone's physical illness healed?
Amen.
Did God give you courage when you were scared? Was a scripture given to you by the Spirit at just the right moment?
I love that.
Is there a worship song that carried you through this year? And I love that about the Spotify Wrapped. I don't know if you guys listen to Spotify, but at the end of the year, it tells you what song you listen to the most. And it's such a great, like, reminder of, oh, that's right. That song carried me through some things this year. So those are just some examples of some questions that might get the ball rolling. And you might want to give everyone prior notice of what you're going to do before you get together and have this time of reflecting. You could even send them these questions and give them time to look at their calendar or read through their journal. Like sometimes even just looking over your Google calendar, you can be like, oh, that's right. That's something God did. And it jogs your memory. But make an event of remembering and recalling all the Lord has done in this past year. What a beautiful way to wrap up another year and head into a new one.
So, so good. Okay, so as I said at the top of the podcast, this is not something I do pretty intentionally at the end of the year. So what are some things you guys do to help you wrap up a year and begin a new one? Or what tips can you give a girl like me who needs to muscle up in this area?
We do watch night service at my church. I don't know if you've ever heard of watch night.
Tell us. Anybody?
So watch night service, well, it does have its beginnings, at least in America. It happened during slavery, and slaves and abolitionists would get together at church and just proclaim the goodness of God. And of course, then post-slavery, it continued. And now it's, you know, like an all church-wide type of thing, not just with African-American churches. But, you know, like we gather late in the evening, so maybe about 10 or 11 on New Year's Eve. And we just bring the new year in, just worshiping God and praising him. And then, you know, we have a time of just testimony and reflection, saying what God has done.
I love that.
And so like these last couple of years, I asked God, you know, to give me a word for the year. And it's something actually I think I got from you. Janet.
Yeah. Janet's talked me into that a few times too. It was good for me.
And so my word for this year was bridge. It's God has just been kind of developing that throughout the year for me, just showing me what that means. So yeah, that's
really
been
good. You know, when you talk about watch night, I'm thinking about, we just did the study of Esther, the online Bible study of Esther a couple months ago. We just finished it last month. And Purim is a feast that they celebrate every March. And as we study the book of Esther, we learned that the date that it is celebrated on was the date that Haman, the bad guy in the book of Esther, had declared that genocide of the Israelites would happen.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
And instead of remembering that's the day we almost died, they remember this is the date we thrive. We survived. And the word
deliverance
means dice. And they were remembering it's not a roll of the dice. Our lives are in the hand of a mighty God. Yes. And when you talk about watch night, I'm thinking that's exactly what that was. That was God's people saying, we aren't going to remember we were slaves. We are going to remember that God was good.
Amen. Amen.
We actually, as a family, do tend to get together and talk about some of the highs and lows of the year and things we look forward to for the next year. We just kind of have that time together talking through it and remembering things in each other's lives. That's really good to do with your kids.
That's something that made me remember something I do. That's
I do.
When we go on our family vacation every year, since the kids have been adults, we used to do high lows at dinner every night, you know, whenever we're all there. But our new tradition now is that when we go on a big family vacation, we put all the littles to bed. And then we do highs and lows of the year.
That's awesome.
And we just pray over each other. And some of my kids are really walking with the Lord. And, you know, it's just like a great remembrance. And the ones that are still trying to figure out their faith, it is such a drawing for them to the Spirit of God. And they love being prayed for. So I don't do that at the end of the year, though. We just do that usually in March.
Yeah. Something my husband and I did last year, too, is we wrote like four declarations over the year ahead of us. And we printed them out and hung them out in different places in the house. And just every now and then we just say them over ourselves to do with like our finances, our gifts, our ministry, and our wellness. And that was been really good through the year. And we'll probably do that again. But I do like a word for the year. I think we have to be careful that we're not superstitious and weird about
it.
Because you know, God is so gracious and kind to, like, you know, if your word is bridge. And I was very kind to shove that back in your face repeatedly throughout the year to remind
you.
As
a true friend.
But we have to be really careful that these aren't like magic spells. Like even a scripture for the year isn't like some kind of a magic spell. We have to be just a little bit careful about that. But it's just something, a truth to hold on to. And the word for the year, the same thing. And one year, God gave me a word for the year for the first 6 months. And then 6 months in, he's like, here's a different one.
Here's
at the
another
end of the year.
Like,
what?
Now that you
seems
got that.
Concerning. But, so yeah. I think the whole idea is being intentional about just stop and notice.
Yeah. You know? And I can't help but think what an incredible impact this can have on our daughter's mental wellness. Yeah.
Yes.
Because so much of our mental wellness today, I think, is because we fixate and remember what is bad and negative and hard.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And we have to pause to be in control of our thoughts.
Yeah.
To take them captive. That's what the scripture says. Take every thought captive to Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. And that's what we do when we have an intentional habit like this and say, hey, we're going to gather. We're going to remember. Mm-hmm. We're going to think on God and how he showed up, not on the hard stuff.
Yeah.
You know, that actually makes me think of the book of Job. Here I am, Lamentations and Job. I'm really coming in hot with these happy books.
High notes today.
But all through Job, what if his first friend would have said, hey, remember the works of the Lord? Mm. And that's where it all ended, right there. He's like, oh, that's right. Yeah. But he went through all the friends, and then God had to come in and say, Job, remember me?
Yeah.
I'm the one here. Mm-hmm. And it's so powerful to do that with our friends and to do that with our daughters, our kids.
So you have your marching order, True Girl Mom, and that is to remember.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Sit down with your daughter, sit down with your family, sit down with your daughter and a mentor or some friends, and remember the mighty works of the Lord.
Join us next month on the True Girl Momcast as we talk about what it means to be wrapped in the truth of God's Word. That sounds like a great way to start the new year.
And Mom, we have a winter wonderland waiting for your girl. Are you ready to wrap your daughter in truth in the new year? Then our January True Girl box is for you. This cozy, wintry themed box is all about helping your girl snuggle up with the truth of God's Word. And we are so excited to introduce our first ever 4Z journal designed around the True Girl Bible study method. She'll learn to zoom in, zoom out, zero in, and zip it up as she dives into Scripture. It's just a really simplified, inductive method of Bible study, the 4Z method. This box comes packed with wintry fun, a snowman making kit, the cutest True Girl head wrap to keep her ears warm, and a Mad Gabs game that will have her figuring out true words in the most hilarious way. And to top it off, she'll get to snack on some snowman peeps while chewing on scripture snacks in the daily devos we're sending. As always, we've included a mom-daughter connectedness date that will help you break down God's truth together, plus a sparkly snowman charm to remember this special time. Oh, and guess what? If you subscribe to the True Girl Box by December 10th, you can wrap it up and make it a special Christmas gift for your sweet girl. We want to help your daughter start the new year digging into God's truth. So head on over to mytruegirl.com or find the link in our show notes to subscribe today. Now, speaking of gifts, well, could you remember the mission of True Girl as we come to the end of this year? 50% of our budget comes in as end of year gifts during the last month of the year. And 50% of that comes in the last week. And 50% of that, the last day. Talk about pins and needles. As we approach our end of year Deep Roots campaign, we're asking moms like you to help us plant roots of truth in the next generation by supporting projects like this free True Girl Momcast. So could you visit mytruegirl.com and make a one-time tax-deductible donation to help us finish the year strong? I would be so grateful. And if you can't make a gift, please pray that God brings in the funding needed to continue serving you and other moms just like you.